Hello, homemakers, and welcome to the Art of Home podcast, where we are exploring how homemakers cultivate a place to belong. I'm your host, Allison Weeks. I am a wife, mom to four grown-up kids, granny to one baby boy, and I have been practicing the art of home for over 30 years. Whether you are a regular listener or you are new to the podcast, I just want to say thanks. Thanks for tuning in and trusting me with a little of your time today. The work you're doing in your home is so important and I know demands much of your time and attention, so I am honored that you are choosing to spend the next hour with me here today. I hope that this conversation will enrich, encourage, and challenge you to practice your art of making a home with joy and confidence and creativity. Well, you may be able to tell from my voice that I have a cold. I don't get sick often, praise God, but when I do, it usually knocks me out for several days, and this one has been a doozy. So I'm going to keep things brief because I currently have the energy level of a turnip. Today marks the end of season 12, and we have met some amazing homemakers. We took a very deep dive into design in the home, and all season long, we've been exploring the first pillar of homemaking, identity. I just want to again thank all the women who contributed to this season, either on the podcast or in the newsletter, and I want to thank all of you for listening and giving feedback and encouragement. Hearing from you all really, really helps me to keep my finger on the pulse of the homemaking community so that I know what kind of content would best serve you. It's super easy to get in touch with me. Just go to theartofhomepodcast.com/contact. where you will be able to send me an email message or leave me a voicemail. On today's episode, I'm talking with In the Trenches homemaker Alexis Molnar. She is wife to Eric and homeschooling mama to their two children. Alexis shares her journey from working girl to stay-at-home mom to eventually letting go of her part-time gig and focusing all her efforts on homemaking and homeschooling. Eric lost his job late last year, and that was the catalyst for starting his own business. Alexis openly shares how God is teaching her to trust him despite the fears that can come with a single-income, entrepreneurial family life. As usual, we talk about priorities and expectations and fails and wins, and we geek out together over our love of air fryers. Be sure to stick around until the end of today's episode because I will be sharing the podcast plans for this summer. I'm taking a little break for some travel and I will tell you what to expect while I'm away. Whatever you apply your hand to as you listen today, I know you will enjoy Alexis's story of home. Welcome to The Art of Home. I'm here with Alexis Molnar and In the Trenches, homemaking mama. And we're going to hear all about her story. But before we do that, Alexis, why don't you just tell us a little bit about who you are today?
Okay. I am Alexis. I am the mom of two kids. Addison is 8 years old and Clayton is 5. And my husband is Eric. And we've been married for 9 years now.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks.
And you're a homeschooling mama, too.
I am a homeschooling mom. I stay at home and help my husband run his business.
Great. I did not know that.
Yep.
Cool.
It's my new...
What's his business? Can you tell me what's his business?
Yeah, he's doing carpentry and he's into landscape design.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
It's his new gig.
What does he build?
He does a lot of like closets. Like built-ins, kinds of things.
Okay, cool.
And then like outdoors, decks, pergolas,
yes, all the things. Now my brain is registering. I remember you posted this on Facebook. I remember seeing this a while ago.
And
he just got started on this, right? Okay.
Yeah, he has like a degree in landscape architecture, but he's finally decided
to pursue it on his own. Mm-hmm. That's kind of scary, but that's exciting.
God has taken us on a journey.
Oh, fun. Okay, well, maybe we'll get to hear about some of that today. All right, well, let's go back to the beginning.
Okay.
And why don't you just tell me, when do you feel like you first became a homemaker? And when that happened, did you have any kind of skills?
Okay. I would say I really first became a homemaker when I got married and had kids. Mm-hmm. I lived before that. I've lived all over the place, but I have had several roommates and lived on my own since I was in college. So there's a lot of like making my space my own and doing things like that. But it was really when I got married and had kids that I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think there's a difference. I mean, you can certainly make a space for yourself and make a home wherever your home is, if that's a bedroom in your parents' house or if that's your dorm or whatever. But there is something different, I think, about having your very own space where you're in charge and responsible.
And responsible. That's a big one. I've definitely brought into it, I think, organizing. Like as a kid, I always really liked to do that. It's a weird thing. My favorite store was the Container Store.
Oh, I love the Container Store.
Yeah, when it first came out, I was like, this is awesome.
That's cool.
But no, I was always like cleaning my room and doing those kinds of things. And so getting married and having my own house, I was like embraced doing that.
Yeah.
So that was my strong one.
That was your strong skill. Yes. Well, what about not so strong skills? What was something that was really challenging for you?
I would say, well, ever since we had kids, we chose for me to stay at home.
Okay.
So I was working at a law firm before that in Seattle. And I think a big adjustment has been a one income family and budgeting and planning, like all the things that a family needs.
Right.
It's not just I can go out and do whatever I want or buy whatever I want anymore. So that was a big one for me. And then cooking for everyone.
Cooking.
I enjoy it. I just, it wasn't my strong suit. It's been a learning curve.
Okay. Well, so what are some of the things that have helped you? I mean, is there anything that you can think of that really has helped you with the budgeting aspect?
Well, I brought into my life, I guess, from being a paralegal, I'm really good at spreadsheets. So I have done, there's a lot of, I have a control thing. So I do all the budgeting in our family, I think, you know.
Well, I think that's pretty common, actually, for I do all the budgeting.
You do it all, too.
Yeah.
It's like I'm here and I'm available.
Exactly.
And I grocery shop. So I need to plan. And so I've just really taught myself and I have to write it all down.
Right.
I'm just one of those scheduled out people.
Okay. So you're doing like Excel. Are you like an Excel wizard?
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
It's my nerdy little
secret. That's so cool. I love that. Well, no, I'm curious though. Do you make your own spread? Do you use a software for budgeting or do you make your own?
I make my own.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Okay. Very, very good. I might have to tap into that and ask you some more questions separately about that. Well, what about cooking? What was something that helped you kind of get a handle on that?
Trial and error. And just growing up, my mom was a good cook, but there was a lot of repetition. And so I get sick of the same things over and over. So I'm constantly, you know, on Pinterest or YouTube or whatever, trying to find different things and try them out.
Yeah.
No, and we have a family cookbook.
Okay.
And so I try really hard to make new things. And
so you have a family cookbook, like something that has recipes from your grandparents or mom or
So Eric and I, our grandmothers were best friends since they were 4 years old.
What?
Yeah. They met.
When they were four,
our grandmothers met.
Your grandmothers?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they lived in right outside Boston. And they lived there their entire lives. So they were always like our home base.
Okay.
And they were always super close until they died. And so our families grew up knowing each other.
Okay.
And our moms like went to school together and everything. And while his family and my family have moved all over the country a lot, like our home base was always our grandparents' house. Okay. And we would always go back there. And we would like celebrate Christmases together and like do our entire lives. It's so bizarre. But when I was in, like just moving out on my own, my mom and my aunt made me a cookbook. And it has all of our family recipes in it. And what's really funny is it has Eric's family recipes in it also.
Oh my gosh.
So I already have like his grandma's recipes and his mom's recipes and all the different.
That's amazing.
So we use that a lot.
Okay. I'm going to take a detour for a second off of the, we'll come back to the recipes.
Okay.
But okay. This is just blowing my mind.
Yeah.
So you guys pretty much grew up together.
We never lived right near each other.
Okay.
But we visited.
Because you were you were visiting your grandmother's.
Mm-hmm. And our parents remained friends.
And your parents were friends. And your family is Greek, right?
Yeah. Both of our moms are all four of our grandparents, like our mom's parents, mm-hmm. are all 100% Greek. Okay. So our moms were Greek. Uh-huh. My mother-in-law is adopted from Greece.
Oh, wow.
We are all.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, So
how did you guys
Greek culture?
So how did you guys get to know one another? When did you get together? Like, dating?
It's a crazy story.
Okay.
I'll give you the short version.
Okay.
We moved all over, and so over the years, like, his family would come visit us in Florida, and then they would visit us in Connecticut. We would visit them. Mm-hmm. So we always kind of checked in and kept in touch. And then with Facebook and stuff, like, Eric and I would keep in touch. Mm-hmm. But what really happened was when I was 25, I moved to Seattle by myself.
Wow.
I lived in Florida at the time.
Just because you just wanted to go as far away as you could?
It's silly. I really wanted, like, I wanted fresh air and mountains in a city where I could, like, thrive, yeah. but still have, like, a different environment.
Yeah.
So I just sold everything. Wow. I took my dog and my suitcases and...
Wow.
But what happened was my parents used to come visit me a lot. And so they fell in love with Montana. Oh. And so they were going to move to Montana because they had both retired. And Eric had graduated from college. His parents moved to San Antonio. I grew up down here when I was a kid. Mm. So on one of the drives, my parents stopped to visit Eric's parents. Mm-hmm. And he was home. He had just graduated. Mm-hmm. And so my dad was like, why don't you come help me move to Montana? Like, take some time. You're uh-huh. free. So I went over when my parents were moving to Montana.
Yeah.
And we just clicked. We just had fun. We stayed there. Aww. He helped my parents move in. He ended up staying for a month with my dad. And I was like, anybody that can tolerate my dad for a month, like, it's really saying something. So Aww. That was kind of the...
I love that
trajectory.
Story.
And then he moved awesome. To Seattle and we got married and had kids. The rest is history. But
oh my goodness.
It was a crazy story.
He moved to Seattle mm-hmm. and you guys got married over there.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So when did you come back to San Antonio?
So we got married in 2014 in Seattle. And then we moved to Spokane mm-hmm. and lived there for 4 years. And so in 2018, we moved down here.
Okay. Wow.
Wow. I just needed to come back. Yeah.
You needed to come. Yeah.
It's cool.
Okay. That's quite a story.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So back to the cookbook. Okay. Now I have to remember where we were in my train of thought, but we were talking about how you kind of overcame and you have this, learning curve yeah. and you have this family cookbook that has recipes from his grandma too. That's yeah. just so awesome. So I was going to ask you, what's your favorite thing out of your family cookbook to
prepare? Oh, that's a good one. We like to make a lot of Greek food. Mm-hmm. So just, my favorite. There's chicken kapama.
What is that?
It's a chicken. It's kind of a cinnamon, it's a red sauce, but it's okay. kind of cinnamon flavored.
Oh, yummy.
And you cook the chicken in it for a long time and put it over pasta. It's really good.
Do you cook is it like boneless chicken, like breast, or do you cook with bone-in pieces?
No, we do like either breast or thighs.
Okay. That sounds really yummy. Good. Ooh.
And then there's a lot of desserts. We like to make spanakopita, which mm-hmm. is Greek spinach pie, mm-hmm. and cookies. Greek mm-hmm. cookies. I'll be making those this week. So
nice. Maybe you can share a couple of
yes,
recipes with
definitely,
us.
That definitely.
We can put in the newsletter. That would be awesome.
Although I'll tell you, they're written pretty funny. They're all like one can of this. And you're like,
what size can?
Yeah.
I know that used to, if you look at older cookbooks, that's how they wrote the recipes. And I'm like, or they will say like one number two can. And I'm what does that
what does
mean?
Mean?
I
yeah.
don't know what that means.
They're all written like that. And so it's like, mm-hmm. we just kind of wing it.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I have good direction.
Okay, good. Good, good. Well, that's cool. Okay. So let's talk about expectations. So what okay. are some things that surprised you about homemaking, good or bad? Just something that you didn't expect.
I would say that they want to eat all the time. And my thing is like, my husband is, he was a hunter and he just loves meat with all of his meals. And that was really hard for me. I'm like, I could take it or leave it.
Uh-huh, okay.
And so just the cooking and then having kids, it was like.
And homeschooling, because you're here all day.
Right.
And I'm they like, want to eat.
Feed them breakfast, lunch, like, dinner.
Snacks, morning day, snack, afternoon snacks, all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly chopping, cutting, serving.
Washing dishes.
Cleaning. Yeah. It's a revolving kitchen, for sure.
Just think of all the opportunities for math lessons.
Yes, there's a lot. I know. We did a math lesson the other day, and it was like, have them, like, go use the sugar. And I'm like, we do this all the time.
Yeah.
We'll do it, but we do this all the time.
You're already doing it anyway. Yeah, that's cool. So what's an expectation you had to let go of for the well-being of yourself and your family?
Oh, perfection. Mm. That was a really big struggle for me in the beginning. I'm pretty type A. So when Addison was a baby, I felt very, I don't want to say overwhelmed, but I was constantly trying to, like the night before, I was like, everything has to be perfect and picked up so that tomorrow I won't be like drowning. Mm-hmm. And that just wore me down, I think.
Yeah.
There was a lot of my trying to keep everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was less of an expectation of it's going to look a certain way. It was more like a perfection with control mixed in is what it sounds like. Yeah. It has to be perfect and in control.
And I grew up like in a house that was very neat and tidy all the time. And just coming to terms with the fact, I read a really good book about homeschooling. It's called The Brave Learner. And she talked about like, you homeschool, this is your home, like you live in it. It's okay to live in it. Like you can see we have live homeschool all around us all the time. And it's just, I've come to terms with that.
Yeah.
Expectation of myself, like everything doesn't have to be, you know, Instagram worthy. It's, we live in it. So.
Yeah. No, that's really good. That's a good lesson to have learned. So let's talk about parenting. How did bringing children into the home enrich your experience in the home?
I mean, it gave me a lot of purpose. I love, ever since both of my kids were born, I just wanted to be with them all the time.
Yeah.
And so I think it gave me a lot of purpose.
Yeah.
I wanted to do everything for them and not for them, but
no, I know what you
make
mean.
Their environment as loving and cozy and enriching as possible, but it also kept me busy.
Yeah.
Well, it wears me down too. There's a beautiful.
Yeah. You said that you guys decided that you were going to stay home. Mm-hmm. Was that a decision that you made before when you were pregnant with Addison, or did you come to that decision afterward?
It was pretty funny. I worked for a law firm in Seattle, and my boss was really incredible. I worked for her for several years. And when we moved to Spokane, I was pregnant for the first time. And she was like, you're going to leave me. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm going to work for you. And then as soon as I had Addison, it was like, and I was supposed to go back for maternity leave. I was like, can I come back like part-time? And so I did that for a while. And she was really flexible, but I wanted my kids to be my priority.
Yeah.
And so it put a lot of stress on me trying to feel like I had things to do and catching up. So it wasn't, it evolved over time. And then over time, I went down to just doing projects for her. And then I would do them at night or on the weekends or in my free time.
Yeah.
And I was super grateful for the flexibility that she gave me. But I started to get to the point as the kids got older and we were trying to balance homeschooling and working that I was like, I'm not doing either one well when I'm and trying to separate myself so much. So we finally let that go.
Yeah. Was that hard?
It was really hard.
Yeah.
But I have a really good relationship with her and she's like, you'll be back. I'm like, oh.
Well, you may be.
I may be.
In 20 years.
I know
or
that
15
we have
years.
A really good relationship. So.
Yeah. That's good. And it is hard to come to that realization that I like how you put it. You know, you were trying to do both really well, and it's pretty much impossible.
It takes away from both. Like I felt there was like one day I had this epiphany where I was like on the computer and running to help the kids and coming back and forth. And I was just like, I'm not doing mm-hmm. either one of these things well. Right. Like I'm irritated with my child because they're interrupting me mm-hmm. and then I'm half paying attention to what I'm doing. So I had right. to like, I'm like, right. I can't do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, homeschooling is a full-time job.
It really is.
Definitely. So definitely. If you're trying to run a home as a homemaker, which is mm-hmm. also a full-time job, and homeschool, that's two full-time jobs, and then add in right. another job. Mm-hmm. So you're basically trying to do three jobs. And that's a recipe for disaster. So yes. that's good that you came to that point. Well, how do you encourage the kids to participate in homemaking with you?
Addison doesn't take a lot of encouragement. She thrives on cooking, mm-hmm. cleaning, not so much. But like she loves to be in the kitchen and helping and doing her own things. And just I'm trying to lighten up. For like she's eight, she's yeah. almost nine. She's like, I'm gonna make the eggs, and I'm like, okay, you know, makes me a little nervous.
Might be some shells in there, yeah.
but she's doing great, so she doesn't really need a lot of encouragement. Yeah. But I also have expectations. Like they help out a lot. There's chores. There's, you know, we're home, mm-hmm. and they understand that we all live here and we all have to contribute.
That's good.
So Clayton's my really good at cleaning. He just doesn't like to do it. So when he does help out,
he does a good job. That's great.
Yeah.
That's a huge part of the battle.
Yeah.
You know, because you might have compliance as far as they'll do the job, but right. it's like, okay, let's go back and do it again because yeah. it wasn't done correctly.
Yes.
So that's right. That's really good. All right. So let's talk a little bit about priorities.
Okay.
What are some practical steps that you take to set and keep your priorities, you know, making time for God and making time for your marriage and all of those kinds of things?
I would say that I'm obviously very type A. Yeah. I'm a written planner person, so that's key in my life to just, I have to visually see what's going on in my life. Mm-hmm. But we're also, like Eric and I lately, with his schedule has been really crazy. We really are trying to like, have coffee every morning. And that has been really wonderful. Mm-hmm. Today, not so much, but we like to sit outside mm-hmm. and just start our day sitting there catching up. Like, what's the expectation? What's on your agenda today?
Yeah.
And that's been really a huge blessing
yeah.
for us to just touch base because then we go through the day and everybody's busy and you don't, you know, get right. that time.
Right. No, that's it's a very good practice. I know some people do it kind of at the end of the day. That's mm-hmm. where they come back together and sort of talk about the day and what's ahead and what are we doing this week or next week mm-hmm. or, you know, if it's coming up on Christmas, you know, okay, what are our expectations? What are our goals mm-hmm. for this season that we're about to enter into? That's really wise, especially if you're with him running his own business. Yeah. Because that can just so easily just get away from you. And then, you like, it's been 2 weeks since we sat down and talked to one another.
Yeah, we're trying to do it. We don't make it happen every day, but it's been.
That's good.
Pretty frequently where we're like, even if it's 10 minutes before we get going, mm-hmm. we'll sit down and talk. And then our other big thing is that we've been trying to turn off our phones on Saturday night mm-hmm. until Sunday.
Ooh.
Night.
Wow.
And it's been.
How's that going?
Well, so we're a little old school. We have a landline. And so we did that for my daughter.
Yeah.
To talk to her friends because we don't do cell phones.
Okay.
But.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
How novel. An old fashioned landline.
An old fashioned landline. That's a big cool. thing for us. But. So that's always available. Okay. Like if my mom needs to reach us or something like
somebody
that.
Somebody can get in touch with us. Right. Okay. That's good.
But we try really hard to do that or at least turn them on silent, plug them in, leave them in the other room.
Okay.
And just relax on Sundays because we get so caught up in the mm-hmm. the busyness of life that we've been really trying to focus on. Mm-hmm. Some quiet time, catching up, and just hanging out together.
Yeah, that is such a great practice. I'm going to think about copying that.
It's been good.
We have the capacity to have a landline. I think we have a number, actually, with our because we have to have it for our internet service provider. Mm-hmm.
That's what we had it.
Yeah. And so maybe we'll, because at some point along the line, we've been in our place for 10 years, and at some point along the line, the actual phone that we used to have on the counter just went away.
Yeah. Yep.
But I might have to bring that back.
Mine's right over there on the counter.
Because I would love to. It's really. I would love to. I'm trying to figure out a way for us to incorporate more of a restful Sabbath.
Yep.
You know, and I'm sure that's kind of what you were aiming at too. It's a little harder when you're on the worship team, but yes. We'll figure out a way to make that work. Maybe if we do it on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But to be able to literally unplug from our phones would be huge.
It's funny because after the first few times we did it, I'm like, I don't even really want to turn it back on.
Oh, yeah.
Like I did, obviously. Yeah. But there was a temptation to be like, this is kind of nice.
Yeah. And I really like the idea of that's how you allow your daughter to talk to friends and stuff. Mm. So, okay. So you said we don't allow cell phones and she's almost nine.
She's almost nine.
So this kind of leads into our next question about how do you maintain healthy relationship with social media, with media in general. But we'll move into that as we talk about this question. I'm wondering is where do you see that going? Have you guys talked about as she gets a little bit older?
Yeah. So we have some friends. She has a friend that's 9 years old that they're really good. They're really close. And her family has a lot of similar values that we do. Okay. And so we decided that if the girls wanted to talk to each other, mm-hmm. and plus it encourages actual conversation.
Yes.
And so
instead
of texting.
Right.
And it keeps them away from social media. Like they mm-hmm. don't know about any of the apps or any of those things. Yeah. And I like to keep it that way. So at least as long as we can. And I mean, Eric and I have discussed it, and I think that it'll be once they really start being apart from us or driving, mm-hmm. then obviously necessity comes into play.
Right.
But for now, I just don't see that as something that we mm-hmm. need.
Yeah. I really admire that.
It's been really nice. They have learned like the proper etiquette.
For phone etiquette. Yes, uh-huh. How do you answer a phone?
How do you answer the phone? Mm-hmm. And calling somebody else's house and having to politely ask for the person, like that's lost today. So.
Absolutely. That's a great point. Okay.
It's been fun.
I hope all of you people are hearing this. I think this is a wonderful idea.
We're bringing it back.
Yeah. Bring it back. So media and other media influences besides the phone, how do you guys navigate those waters?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. We like television, but we keep it. I have rules with school because mm-hmm. it's easy for the televisions right here all day long in our living room. And so we just have rules like and practical limitations. Obviously, on a day like today, I'm a little bit more relaxed mm-hmm. about it. Or if they're busy all day at school, like, well, not school. They do an enrichment program on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I'm not a crazy person about it, but mm-hmm. we do have rules about what they can watch, what they're exposed to. Mm-hmm. And iPad time, like that's not just a free thing. Mm-hmm. We do a reward system where they can earn time. Mm-hmm. And even then they have to ask us before they download anything. There's no YouTube or Google or any of that. So we regulate it, but we try not to be like
militant about it. Yeah. Okay. That's good.
We're just not. If I could have no TV in my house, I would. I'm a book person, but my husband likes to share all of his childhood movies with the kids and those things. So there's a lot of...
Yeah. Compromise.
Yes.
Compromise. That's good. Well, let's move into temptations and challenges.
Okay.
So which of these temptations have you struggled with the most, and what is God teaching you about it? So... A is comparison to other women, other homemakers. B, I'm just a homemaker. I don't get paid for this job. It's not a real job. Or C, superwoman trying to do all the things.
It's fun. These made me laugh a little bit. I'm definitely C.
Okay.
But I get sad over B because I'm like, we are not just a homemaker. There's so much more to it. Like, it matters. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum where I bite off more than I can chew because especially with homeschooling, like I feel like we should be involved in things outside of the home.
Right.
And so I want each kid to be involved in a sport Bible study is really important to me. So mm-hmm. I have that thing and then they each have their own thing and now we're busy. Like that's 3 days.
Yeah.
So it's easy to get off the rails mm-hmm. and get busy. That's something I struggle with.
Okay. All right. And so you have maybe some checks in place to keep you guys from getting carried away with all the extra activities.
My big goal this year has been reeling it in, mm-hmm. and really just checking what's important and taking breaks where breaks are necessary, and hearing the kids too, because Addison's been horseback riding mm-hmm. for a couple of years, mm-hmm. and just she started to not really want to go, but she loves the horses, and she really likes the animals more than she likes the riding. She likes to ride, but she's there to ride for fun, not because she has some big dream of being like award-winning horseback rider. She's there. And she just started to express that she didn't really want to go. And I was like, if you want to take a break, that's okay. Mm-hmm. She just wants to stay home and play. And I'm like, mm-hmm. well, let's do that. If you decide you want to go back, just tell me and we can talk about it.
Yeah.
So we're trying to like reel it in.
Yeah, that's really good. It's like reassessing your priorities regularly and your values and making sure that your rhythms line up with what your values are, mm-hmm. you know, and that's one of the things we're moving towards, these pillars of homemaking that we've started exploring this year. You know, the first one is your identity, understanding who you are in Christ and not tying your identity up with all the other things. Yes. And then what follows from that is then if you know who you are and you're secure in Christ, then you can kind of look at what are my values, what's important to us as a family, and then individually. And I love that you said I'm learning to listen to my kids. You know, what's important to her right now? I mean, and you have to take that with a grain of salt and know that you can't necessarily trust the instincts of a 9-year-old, but it is important to let her voice be heard, mm-hmm. and not just keep pushing and pushing and, you know, no, you're going to go to horseback riding.
Right.
Because I'm paying for this and you're going to go.
Right, you know? Right. I'm like, there's room for you to have an opinion about it.
Yeah. So. No, that's really good. Okay. Well, is there like a particularly challenging thing that you've faced in your homemaking? Some kind of special challenge that you've had to really work through to overcome, or maybe you're still working through it. And what has God been teaching you in that?
Oh, this is such a good one. And this actually ties into what we were just talking about, because our big challenge is that when I left my job at the law firm, a month later, Eric got laid off. Mm. And it really caused us to sit down and assess all those things that you were talking about, our values and our priorities, because we sat down and we're like, what are we willing to sacrifice and what are we not willing to sacrifice?
Yeah.
And there was a lot, like maybe we do the sports. We went down to doing horseback riding once a week. I mean, every other week, because mm-hmm. she was riding once a week.
Okay.
And, you know, letting go of some things and really assessing, it's important for me to stay home with the kids. That mm-hmm. was our non-negotiable, unless I absolutely positively had to do it.
Right.
Homeschooling and being home with my kids was something we weren't willing to bend on.
Okay.
So it really caused us to kind of go through that. But God has definitely been teaching me a lot, because Eric has wanted to start this business for a while. And girl, I dug my heels in so hard for so long, where I was like, no, that scares me. And like, we're a one income family. Like, you support us. It was really scary. But in this time that he had, it was over Christmas, and opportunities just kept presenting themselves. And I really had to lean into that and be like, all right, God, clearly my plans are different than your plans, and I'm going to have to let this go.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to lead by faith, and it's been a beautiful thing, and I'm learning a lot, but that was a challenge for us. Mm. And it's interesting that something that could be so detrimental has really been such a blessing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So this is recent.
Like,
this just happened this past Christmas. Mm-hmm. Wow. So it was like you're digging in your heels and digging in your heels, and God was like, okay, well, how about this?
I'm gonna show you. Yeah.
We're going to make this happen.
And there was also a big part, like, I'm being totally vulnerable right now, but I'm used to working mm-hmm. and having the comfort of a
that,
financial
that
comfort.
Income. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And prior to him getting laid off, I really felt like, okay, I need to be more responsible. I need to like think more about things. And it wasn't a problem, but it was just something I was becoming more aware of in myself. And then when Eric got laid off, I was like, okay, God,
That's
you're clearly teaching me a lesson.
That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
no, that's such a good point and a lesson that we all could grow in. I know I can for sure. There was a time in our married life where, you know, when we were first married, we had nothing. I mean, zero money. We had negative money.
Negative money, yeah.
And I mean, I had to find ways to be thrifty and make the dollars stretch. And we were also really dumb. Like, we made some really dumb financial decisions because we were like, oh, you know, the credit card company wants to give us free money, right?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I think we were paying for pizzas for like 10 years.
Right? I've really learned to assess things in all of this where I'm like, yeah. We sat down with our cell phone bill and I'm like, look at all these things we're paying for that I just paid for.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary.
I know. So there's, because it's hard, it requires sacrifice, but there's a lot of freedom in that too, to not be dependent upon, you know, all of these things that we've added on, and the dollars really start to add up. And then all of a sudden you're in a situation where you're like, oh my gosh, if he loses his job, we are really in trouble.
Yeah.
So
it gives us a chance to really look at what we were spending our money on and what mattered.
Yeah.
I mean, we got rid of so many like subscriptions on TV that you're like, oh, I want to watch this show. Let me just
Just $5. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it just has been really freeing, like you said, to just kind of reassess
where
we were at.
Well, that's good. Well, thank you for sharing about that. And that is tough. All right, let's move on and talk about hospitality.
Okay.
Okay. So what's a practical way that you show hospitality in your homemaking, both to the people that live here and then anybody that you bring in?
I would say a big one is food.
Yeah.
I think that's a common answer,
that's my favorite.
That's, even though I don't love to cook, there's always food and there's always, I just feel like it's comforting. Mm-hmm. And I had to ask Eric about some of these questions too. And he was like, well, you always have it here. If the kids want a snack, there's a snack.
Yeah.
If people come over, there's coffee, there's things. So just, you know, I want people to feel comfortable when they come over.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a huge part of hospitality is about being prepared.
Yes.
So whether it's having a pantry full of food or having an extra set of sheets that you can quickly put on the bed, you know, or extra towels or whatever it is, that's going to meet that need.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's having some forethought and taking the time to be prepared.
Yes.
To show hospitality in whatever way you're able to.
Mm-hmm.
So, how does that work with homeschooling? You know, are you guys able to do things maybe hospitality wise that you wouldn't otherwise be able to do if your kids were going to school during the day?
Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of friends over and I like to be the one to host having people over.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't know if it's just because I'm a homebody and I'm comfortable here, but I also enjoy having friends come.
That's fun.
Sit and have a place. So we do that a lot. We have, you know, play dates or we do projects together.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you get together with other homeschool families and do learning together and stuff out apart from the enrichment thing that they do once a week?
Right. We try. I mean, my best friend, she'll probably listen to this and know I'm talking about her, but she moved away. We used to do a lot together when she was here and activities with the kids or go to the park together and things like that. It was really wonderful. But I do have other people I do things with, just not as consistently as we used to.
Right. So. Right. Well, that's one of the ways I think it's unique to you as a homeschooling homemaker that you can help build community.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other way that you've seen homemaking has helped to build community? If you don't have an answer, that's fine. We can skip it.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't really know if I have an answer.
The way that I think about it is, and this is a common answer, is that, you know, being a homemaker, whether you do it full-time or part-time, you are like making a little lighthouse.
Okay.
You know, your home in the community that it exists in, if there's somebody there, if everybody's working and always gone and always doing a sport thing and always never home, then it's almost like that home is just a hotel.
Oh, then I do have a good answer because our next door neighbor.
You want me to set it up?
I don't know.
Okay.
Tell me if this is my answer first. Like the woman that lives next door, she lives alone and I love her and she would totally not care that I said this, but like we just have, she loves that I'm here and I always take her in and like I invited her over for Easter because she's doesn't have plans. Like I try to be that little light in the neighborhood to my people.
That is a great answer.
Okay.
No, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
You know, because we just don't have that very, we used to have that long, long time ago when before people moved off to cities and factories and, you know, when we were more agrarian and, you know, communities had to stay together and stick together and help one another out in order to survive. And we lost that with industrialization and our modern world that we live in. And so now we're sort of like, and we're just kind of this anomaly, like, you know, this home that's, the lights are always on and there's always somebody here and available.
It's funny, Eric has become that person too, because there's a lot of young families in our neighborhood, but there's also a lot of older people.
Yeah.
And so every couple of houses, there's like an older woman that lives alone. And the other day, one of our neighbors came over with a cell phone she found and she's like, Eric, I need your help. Like, I was like, Eric, you're like the little neighborhood, like
the neighborhood
He mows their lawns, like three houses down. He just takes his lawnmower and just keeps going.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's so fantastic.
We like to care for our people. But when my mom lived alone, I always wanted the people to treat her like that. I think it made me very aware of how to treat them because I wanted somebody to look out for her. And when somebody would come over and trim her trees or pick something up, I'm like, oh, that was so nice. What a big deal. Like, now when I see that need, I want to be that for other people.
Yeah, it made you aware of it. It turned your radar on for that. Yeah, no, I totally understand. And that's what we're talking about is it's the rippling out. You know, you do that here in your home for one another. You care for one another. You do things for one another. And then the way it builds community is it just ripples out from there to the people around you, you know. But you have to be intentional.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it can be really easy to just ignore those people.
It is. I really have to put myself out there. Like our next door neighbors they've since moved, but when they first moved in, I saw them like unloading their moving truck and I was like, I'm going to go say hi.
Yeah.
I'm going to go be that person. Yes. And they're actually the people that introduced us to Hillside. So.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. I'm like, that all worked out.
Yeah.
There is a reason. God had a plan that I was stepping outside of that comfort zone. Oh, so
I love that. That's really great. Okay. We're going to do some rapid fire questions now. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't wait to hear your answers. All right. What is your biggest homemaking fail so far?
I got this from my family, overbooking my schedule. I don't have any awesome recipe fails or anything fun like that. It's really just saying yes to everything.
Have you ever like double booked yourself and not realized it until a moment that somebody called you and they're like, are you coming? And you're like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot. I'm doing this other thing. That's happened to me.
No, because I'm such a planner nerd that like, okay. I really have my schedule like written out, but I'm just bad about like, Eric works hard and on the weekends he's like, oh, we're going to relax this week. I'm like, no, we're not. We have things to do. I said yes.
Oh gosh. Okay.
So, that's definitely my biggest weakness.
So how about a recent homemaking win?
I think it's my organization and being prepared and just having more time to do those things now that I've made some adjustments with our schedule and my work life. I just feel more, I want to say in control of my homemaking, but really just available to my family. So
that's good. Yeah, that is a win, being more available to your family. How about a homemaking product or resource that you are loving right now?
I would say I'm big on, I have a terrible memory. So my meal plan, like I write down my meal lists. I write down my schedules, spreadsheets. All those things are really
that's your thing. That's your jam.
That's my jam.
Okay. Do you have a favorite appliance that you could not live without?
I'm pretty fond of my air fryer.
I love my air fryer. I love it.
My mother-in-law had one and I was like, that thing's huge and it's fabulous because I told you my husband can eat a lot and mm-hmm. he likes a whole bag of tater tots at once. Or, girl, I can cook chicken or I can cook two rows of vegetables. I mean, we got the big.
You have the big one?
It's in the corner.
Is it out?
Yeah. See it in the corner.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a monster. But
it's like a multi. It does more than just air fry, right?
Yeah, it does everything.
Yeah.
It's like a toaster.
That's amazing.
It bakes. It does. And that has been, I got that for Christmas from my mother-in-law because I was mm-hmm. oohing and aahing over hers for so long.
Yeah.
And
it's like having a second oven.
It is. And being busy and on the go, mm-hmm. I can cook so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like things that take longer in the oven yeah. are super fast.
Yeah.
So I take that with me wherever I went.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. My nephew just is like moving out on his yeah. own. And I was like, you have to get an air fryer.
Well, listen, when I discovered that I don't have one fancy like mm-hmm. yours, and I'm going to have to check it out and see what kind you have, because I have a similar toaster oven that it's on its sixth or seventh year and it's dying a very slow death. No. So I need to get a new one. And I was thinking about doing one like that has the air fryer yes. function. So I'm going to check that out before mm-hmm. I leave. But when I discovered the air fryer, I just have like the Ninja, you know, countertop. Yeah. I can fit a whole chicken in mine with the mm-hmm. little drawer. It has to be a small chicken though. And I fell in love with that so much that all my kids, I gave them all air fryers for yes. Christmas that year. Because yes. I'm like, you have to have this in your life. It's the best.
I felt like I was late to the game on it, but once I got it, I'm mm-hmm. like, I can cook dinner so mm-hmm. much quicker. And it's good.
Yeah, it's
everything
not.
Everything turns out really well. It's not soggy.
It's not soggy like it might be in a crock pot or, right. you know, heaven forbid, microwave something. But yeah no, I totally agree. That is a great appliance, folks. And I know not everybody has the counter space for something like that, but if you can get one of the smaller ones just to have for doing like French fries. And because I like to have frozen fries for really fast if I need something mm-hmm. like right away, but I like to do home fries in there.
We do that with and they sweet come potatoes. Out
awesome. Yeah. Up. I do them in little rounds.
Oh, when I try rounds.
Yeah. Because it's like there's more surface area to get all browned.
Oh, I'm going to have to try that. Yeah. I always cut them in little sticks.
Mm-hmm. I do rounds.
I'm going to try that.
For both kinds of potatoes. Now you have to go in and flip them.
Mm-hmm.
Although with yours, because you've got such a large surface area, you can put them in a single layer.
And it came with like three different trays.
So oh, that's
like,
awesome.
You could pick yeah. the one that's open and not solid.
Yeah, you should try the
I'm gonna try that.
Cut them in rounds and just a little olive oil and some salt and pepper. And so good.
And it came with, I don't want to call it a cookbook, but the guide that comes with it.
Yeah. It's got recipes and stuff.
It has like a chart for anything you could ever imagine how to you put want in there.
To cook. Oh, that's really good
that's
to know.
That's really helpful.
Okay. Okay. So what is your favorite homemaking hack or tip? It doesn't have to be original from you.
My homemaking hack. I mean, I have a friend that really suggested this and I've been trying it where I'm trying to clean on certain days mm-hmm. to keep up with it. And I thought she was crazy at first, but then when I started doing it, it felt less daunting.
Okay. So what's the method? Because that it can be different. Now, some people will just do all the dusting and vacuuming on one day, the whole house, but some people do by rooms. So you're doing like zone cleaning?
I'm doing it kind of by rooms. So okay. I'm doing like bathrooms on Mondays, mm-hmm. get that over with.
Yeah.
And I try to do one load of laundry every day. Just to stay up with it. Obviously, the weekends, I don't do that. But really just trying to attack like one area and making it complete.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not fun because then I'm going to go somewhere else and feel behind. But it's really more satisfying to feel like I've accomplished.
Yeah.
I tidy up the kitchen. I always do this like on Mondays or Sundays, which I try not to do too much on Sundays. But I need the week. I need the kitchen ready for the week.
Sure.
So that's
that.
And then bedrooms, I do those on Fridays, you know.
Nice. Cool.
It's been helpful.
That's good. Good to know. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the art of home. So how do you see homemaking as an art?
Oh, man. And what is this? I see it as an art because there's so many different things people can bring to the table.
Mm.
And there's things I wish I had learned that I'm trying to learn more as an adult.
Mm-hmm. Like what do you, what's maybe something you wish you had learned?
Like sewing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I wish I had learned to sew.
Okay.
Addison's really into learning how to sew, and I told her she could teach me when she figures it out.
How is she learning? Is she like using videos or something? Or what?
My mom learned later in her life.
Okay.
And so she didn't teach me when I was younger. So she came over and helped Addison, and Addison sits in there and has her sewing machine set up. And I'm like, I wish I could like really make things. So to me, it's just an art because there's so much creativity. Like you can have creativity in cooking. You can have creativity in sewing. You can have creativity in gardening and all these things. There's just, there's so many aspects that get forgotten about.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they are skills to learn and grow in. Yep. And you never stop learning and growing.
Yeah. There's always something changing. And
yeah. I love that she's learning to sew. You know, we have a two-part sewing deep dive.
I did see that.
That might be helpful just to get some basic knowledge.
I need that.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I can like set it up.
Yeah.
But I'm not very good at executing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And we have there's a guide too. We have a free guide.
I need that.
You need that.
I need that.
Yes. I'll make sure you get a copy of that. So how do you find beauty in the midst of all the mundane things that we get to do as homemakers?
I try to see them as, and I get to.
Yeah.
That's my biggest thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I try to thank Eric that I get to stay home.
Yeah.
And I get to see my kids every day. And when they ask me for their billionth snack, I get to provide them with food, or I get to provide them with a warm and cozy house. So I try really hard to look at the, I get to's, not that I have to's.
Yeah.
It's just my motivation.
That's a good perspective. And then how does gratitude, I love that you said you thank Eric that you get to stay home, you know, because not every husband is on board with that. So it's good to express that gratitude. What are some other ways that you have found that gratitude is important to you as a homemaker and it really changes your experience in the home?
I mean, feeling the gratitude from my family too, which it's not always there. Everybody does their things. It's a pretty thankless job sometimes. But when I do see it, and I know that the kids value like my being around more and spending time with me. Addison did like a brief stint in public school in kindergarten.
Okay.
And she can look back to that. So sometimes when we have rough days, she's like, at least I'm not at school all day. And so feeling her gratitude for what I'm doing
just
helps. It means a lot. Those little things go a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good. Well, I always like to end our time talking to the other women, okay? Mm-hmm. Because part of the big mission of this podcast ministry is to help us enter into the story of other generations and, you know, bring some unity, generational unity in the body of Christ and sort of follow that Titus 2 model that Paul laid out for us. So what is something that you would say to the older women, because you're in the middle. Mm-hmm. So what's something you would say to the older women that you would want them to understand about your experience in homemaking, and what are some ways that they could enter into that experience and help you?
I think it's that I'm making an assumption, I guess, but I assume that when I think about my grandmother, even my mom, that there are skills that I want them to know they're valued and that we want them to teach us.
Yeah.
And we want them to be passed down.
Yeah.
And there's even just little things. Like, I thought about it recently. Like, my mom makes spaghetti sauce and I love it. And I'm like, you need to teach me how to do that because one day I want to be able to make that. You know, I want them to know that there's an interest and that passing on the sewing skills or the canning skills, like those things are getting lost and that they're valuable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I know a lot of the older women feel like they don't want to intrude.
Right.
Or they don't want to push in,
right?
You know, so and I don't know, what do you think would be the best way for someone who maybe has those skills that could share with you? What would be in an ideal situation for you? Because you're busy, you know, you're raising kids and homeschooling and all that.
I mean, I'm busy, but I'm also hands-on. So I I listen to podcasts and I can watch YouTube videos, but I like a good class or a good lesson.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, a cooking class is hard, but I would love a sewing class or something where somebody just knows what they're doing, can
look over your shoulder
and get me started and just give me some encouragement in those things.
Yeah, that's good. Well, what about to the women coming behind you? What encouragement would you give them? What advice would you give to them?
I think the biggest thing is that what they're doing is important. Mm-hmm. And whether you have kids or don't have kids, it matters. Home matters. I think like that's really been lost in the world.
Yeah.
And where children are growing up and the environment that they're being raised in and the way that their home functions really matters. And I get sad when people don't see that what they're doing is so important because it is. So just keep going and ask questions.
Yes. Good advice. Keep going and ask questions. Yes. Very good. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story of home. It's been really fun to get to know you better.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for listening today to this In the Trenches Homemaker Portrait of Alexis Molnar. I hope you have found some little nugget of wisdom or encouragement to take away from this episode and to apply in your own homemaking. I would say my top takeaway is Alexis's idea of installing a physical landline to facilitate cell phone-free weekends. We've talked a lot on the show about accepting and even celebrating our limitations, knowing that limits are a good gift from God because they remind us of how much we need Him. Part of accepting and celebrating our limitations is taking time to rest, and I believe limiting the digital noise in our lives for a solid 24 hours each week is a fantastic way to practice this. By having a landline, you could easily disconnect from the digital world and still be reachable in the case of family or work emergencies. I will seriously be considering this and discussing it with my husband. What about you? Does this sound doable for your family? I would love to hear your thoughts. Remember, just go to theartofhomepodcast.com/contact and let me know what you think. So we are at the end of season 12. And normally at the end of a season, I take a 2-week break where I do not publish any new content, including the podcast, the newsletter, and social media. And then I come back with a brand new season and all new content. This summer will be a little different. I'm traveling internationally at the beginning of the summer, and I really want to be fully present for this trip. Originally, I thought I would have time to pre-produce and schedule all of the content to automatically publish while I was away. However, my timeline is getting shorter by the minute, and my margin is squeezed pretty tight right now. I won't be able to make that happen before I leave and still maintain the quality of production and content that I'm committed to producing for The Art of Home. So I will not release anything new until mid-June. And in the meantime, I have decided to re-release last year's summer reading series. Now, as an avid podcast listener myself, I am not a fan of the re-release. And if this is you too, just skip it and I'll meet you back here in June. But maybe you're brand new to the podcast, or maybe you were super busy last summer and you never had an opportunity to listen to the series. Well, now you do. This series is basically an audiobook. Over the course of 5 episodes, I read to you J.R. Miller's classic book, Homemaking, 2 chapters at a time. I also created a companion study guide to help you glean as much as possible from this timeless, wise book. So beginning next week, I will re-release this summer reading series. I encourage you to download the study guide and, going at your own pace, listen to the episodes and work through the guide. I believe this book and study guide are so valuable to my homemaking that I will be working through it again myself while I'm on my trip. I hope it provides value to you as well. To get your free copy of the study guide, go to theartofhomepodcast.com/summer. As always, if you have found value in this episode, please share, subscribe, leave a rating and a review, and if you are so moved, you can also leave us a tip in our virtual tip jar, Buy Me a Coffee. Visit our support page on the website for more information on how to do all of those things. And thank you. Well, that is a wrap on season 12, homemakers. Get on that summer reading bandwagon starting next week, and I will be back here in June with all new homemaker portraits, a deep dive on pillar 2, values and priorities, and a deep dive on canning and food preservation. Until then, keep practicing your art of making a home.